Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
It's time to get our dance revolution on, our Just Dance moves ready. It's time to go full boy band. Janae and Gola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Gola Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will decode what Coach Bill Belichick said to the media, fending off all these criticisms now that his team is under real scrutiny now. But first, I want you, Junior, like really briefly, to tell me why you were laughing at me at the start of the show today.
At the start of the show today, well, because we heard in the background of one of our segments the doorbell go off as your food was getting delivered at home in the middle of the show. So I was going to ask how it was, but I saw during the break it was incredible.
It's fried chicken and fries. And by the way, we have already in the show break decided what the best version of fries are. I think we'll settle that debate a little bit later. But I said tell me why because I'm so excited about this segment in which you get to tell us why so many things are happening in college football. But before we get there, can you sort of outline where we stand with college football this weekend specifically?
Yeah, it's become increasingly difficult to keep track of this weekend, Shanae. We're at 14 games postponed or canceled this weekend. And some of the latest, we talked so much about the SEC at the beginning of the year, have now come in the Pac-12, specifically UCLA against Utah being canceled and Cal versus Arizona State. And what that prompted is this: the Pac-12 tweeted out an update that Sunday, Cal is now going to play UCLA, since those were two of the teams in the matchups unaffected by COVID-19. Sunday, November 15th at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, this weekend. So we've got a matchup coming together at the last minute going into an NFL Sunday, heading up all because of some of the difficulties faced by these schools.
If it's last minute and you need a reporter, your girl's here in California. Ready, okay?
Holding it down.
Hone it down, P.O.P. Okay, I'm done. Let's get to the college football games that are happening with Tell Me Why right now. Whoa, please tell me what that is.
Yeah. All right, you don't have to act so startled. What the hell was that?
Mike, tell me why. Tell me
why. All right, you ready to go around the world of college football this weekend, Junior?
Ready as I'll be. For what's left of the college football world, I think we still got some good stuff, Janae.
And I want everyone to sing with me, okay? Because your girl always embarrasses herself. And I know a lot of other people do that too, so sing with me. Now, let's start here. Wisconsin has had a whirlwind 2020. They've had a COVID outbreak that affected their quarterbacks, their head coach, you name it, and they've been through it. And now they're back. They're back. So, Junior, tell me why Wisconsin is playing the most important game of the weekend.
Yeah, Chiney, as I look at the Big Ten's hopes for relevance over the course of this year, it's certainly always hinged on Ohio State, but you look at the other marquee programs, Penn State, Michigan, who have all dropped in the early rankings and dropped hard in these first few weeks. I look now at a Wisconsin team that lit it up the first Big Ten game we saw back Friday night, way back when, going off against Illinois. Now is a chance to get back out on the field, and this game against that banged up Michigan group here is going to maybe feature the Graham Mertz quarterback, who completed over 95% of his passes in that game one. And so I think this game going to go a long way in determining what the best of the rest looks like in the Big Ten as we gauge them during this college football season.
The best of the rest. I like that. Now, Wisconsin is one of the teams that we clearly have to keep an eye on. I like that. And we have to do the same thing for the entire Pac-12, okay? Pac-12 after dark, or now, I guess, early morning, right? Tell me why we've got a star to watch at Oregon.
Yeah, so during the first college football weekend, a lot of my focus was on USC, who I thought would pace the Pac-12, but instead, it was Oregon that got a solid win over your very own Stanford Cardinals. Sorry to bring that one back up. But I look at this and I say what we got out of that matchup also was the beginning of something great. Penei Sewell, the best left tackle in college football, opted out this year, but his younger brother is a freshman linebacker named Noah. A guy who right now standing at 6'3", 250, flashed rare athletic ability, incredible power, and some playmaking that should have people around the Ducks program excited. Now, Oregon at this point has a 34% chance to finish the regular season undefeated and the fifth best chance in the FBS to actually go into and be involved in the college football playoff. So I look at this and say this program certainly one to watch, but in limited snaps, Noah Sewell flashed some impressive stuff, and I think I'm looking forward to watching him develop. Good genes in that family, there is no doubt.
I'll take any team from the Pac-12 in the college football playoff at this point, but I knew you were going to rub it in my face that my Stanford team lost to Oregon. It's okay. It's okay. All right, let's head back to the Big Ten. Tell me why Indiana is legit and Tom Allen is the coach of the year?
This is, I think, setting up for that early on. Indiana seeking their first 4-0 start in conference play since 1987. It's their first game as a top 10 team since 1969, where they've lost their last three. But right now, what was formerly hashtag 9WINDiana is a team that looks motivated in Chennai, not like an accident. So many people see the game against Penn State, the game against Michigan. Those weren't flukes. These were games where, especially against Michigan, they looked like largely for the entire game the best team on the field in this instance. Michael Penix Jr., their quarterback, has been sensational through the opening stanza of games, and I think this one in particular against the Michigan State squad here, who has also played upset bid early in the portion of this season, going to be a great opportunity for them to go out and show just how stable and competent they are time and time again.
Okay. You know what to do. For this last one, I'm going to take a sip of my caramel macchiato really quick. Now, I've been sleep deprived this week. So, Mike Olick Jr., will you please tell me why you can hit snooze on your upset alert this week?
All right. I am sick and tired of hearing from everybody the lowest hanging fruit. Yes, I understand that the last time Notre Dame beat a number one ranked team in 1993, they followed that up with an upset loss against Boston College. Boston College is 3-34 all time against AP top five opponents, and two of those wins have come against Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame's on a series record, 7 straight wins against BC, and I think, Chennai, it boils down to this. Boston College, we saw take Clemson to the wire a couple of weeks ago before Notre Dame squared off against them, that same team led by DJ Uiagalelei. And what you see with Jeff Hafley's outfit is great. It's a team built in a lot of ways like Notre Dame, a quarterback that actually transferred from Notre Dame and Phil Jurkovic, a tight end that's going to be on an NFL roster next year, and a defense that likes to cause chaos around the line of scrimmage, tied for 9th in sacks in college football right now. But it's a situation where it's everything you can do, I can do better. And the only reason people are looking at this is counting on the exhale and the upset that comes with a team kind of letting their foot off the gas after a big-time win. I think this is Notre Dame's chance to really cement what people need to learn about them this year, that they are consistent, that this is expected, and that the process is going to be honored in the way that their coach has talked about all season long.
That one snapped. Okay. I got one more for you. Tell me why curly fries are the worst flies on the planet.
I can't believe you would slander. So this comes up during the break. Chennai compares herself to a wedge fry. I want you to tell America, Chennai, why you looked at the wedge fry that you were snacking on during the break and said, you know what, I identify a lot with this fry.
Because, like, you know, the wedge are, like, slim thick, kind of like me.
So you went with that, and then you decided that curly fries were going to be coming out here and catching hands from you in a way that I cannot tolerate. I think curly fries are the best cut of fries that exist. I think they are versatile, they are well-seasoned, and they are a delicious, wonderful, springy texture.
I don't like mine too skinny, and I don't like mine too large. I like them right in between, and I feel like that's me, you know, not too skinny, not too large, you know, right in between. So hit us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chennai, at Mike Gold Jr. What is the best version of a fry? Curly, skinny, thick, shoot a potato, tell us.
It's just incredible what this has devolved into. Tell Me Why is brought to you by AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, and secure. That is what we are looking for going into this college football week. And Chennai is looking for more fries to munch on. And coming up next, I'm looking for why Bill Belichick is so big mad out here right now. We'll get to that next. It's Chennai Goldberg Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chennai and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy Friday. Good vibes only here. Chennai and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chennai Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. with you. Now, in a few minutes, we'll talk to our own ESPN NFL analyst, one of the co-hosts on NFL Live, to get us ready for the NFL slate this weekend. I'm really looking forward to, me personally, Rams-Bills. Was it Seahawks? Which one was that?
Rams-Seahawks, yeah.
Rams-Seahawks, there we go.
Because, Chennai, largely like this weekend, not the best slate of NFL games, but some really cool division matchups, and that one's certainly the most on the line in the best division in football.
Yeah, for sure. That's the one I had circled. But you know what's also interesting? I've been having this crisis at quarterback on my fantasy team, but I think I've seen life, especially because it comes down to the Patriots and Cam Newton. And the Patriots, they have the Ravens this weekend, and coming off of a late game win last week versus the Jets. I know a lot of people were saying, you know, caveat, but a win is a win. Everyone gets paid, you know, in the pro level. Coming off of that win, I think the tide has really turned in New England. We've seen this the entirety of this year. And if you look at the AFC East, I mean, right now, the Bills, what, 7-2, Dolphins, you know, building off of this momentum, especially with their new quarterback Tua, 5-3, and the Patriots are 3-5, which means this is uncomfortable territory. This is uncharted waters. And so now Coach Bill Belichick is having to fend questions that he normally doesn't get, especially in the media.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, Chinay, to watch the whole perception of the Patriot experiment that's going on this year, because before we were dealing with certainties, and now we're putting different mixtures in the pot and trying to figure out how this goes, all while Bill Belichick knows, even Bill, who is the ultimate in tuning out the media and pretending like he doesn't care about us, understands what everyone's going to be looking at and doing, comparing him and Tom Brady. So it's going to be very interesting to hear instances like this. Bill was asked at a press conference a couple of interesting questions, and I want to kind of gauge his response right here, and I want to do it. Are we doing coach speak right now for this? Is that how we're going to do this, breaking down what Bill Belichick said right here?
I don't think so.
I don't think we're going to do it, but we usually would do it in this spot, and that's why I asked. We're going to look at what Bill Belichick said in this press conference about ideas of why his draft picks have been struggling as of late, something that's been brought up as a criticism. Here was Bill's answer.
Just really over the last 4 years, drafted players, do you have any idea why you've had a harder time getting consistent production and development from the guys that you've selected in the draft?
Well, let's say anytime you bring a player onto your team, you put him into a role or a situation that you think fits him. Sometimes you have to modify that a little bit as you get to know the player, and then you work with him to try to develop that. And he competes with other players at whatever position it is or whatever role it is. And ultimately I choose the best player out of that competition. So that's really the process. I don't know how else to answer the question. Obviously each player is different. Each player competes with different players. Positions are different. So it's, I don't know. There's a general answer to that.
I love this. Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agumake, that this is built, and I'm waiting to hear this next clip again, Chinay, because the way I read this and the headline associated with it is Bill Belichick gets defensive. That's like the meme format where every face is the same for all the emotions, because that sounded like Bill Belichick every day.
Okay, did you not just like get reverted to being a child and your parent, like you're dealing with a situation and then you're hearing that long pause before you get the answer and then your mind goes everywhere? Like, that's how scared I was.
Where you're just thinking about every mistake you've ever made that might come back in that moment. You're right. Maybe that is the ultimate Bill Belichick in silence used to defeat all of his enemies.
No, absolutely. But like, I do think that to some degree, this is an overreaction in the sense that, like, Jason Fitz almost like took me out just because he was like, this is our time to finally get on the Patriots and say that they're not good and we just have to call it as it is. We're being too nice to them. But I'm like, 2020, are we going to do that this year? Like, do you want to do that this year? Because you're looking at a team that has had a number of opt-outs before the season even started. Their quarterback testing positive for coronavirus. Them not having nearly as many weapons, which that same issue is the reason why Tom Brady, your generational quarterback, decided to leave. We should feel comfortable being mean to them this year. I feel like next year, maybe. Is there a grace period? Because I understand you have to ask those questions. This is a struggling team, a team trying to figure out how to move forward, but still, I can't really get myself dirty in the mud with this team because I know so many teams are facing challenges that they've never expected.
Chinay, I'll tell you why this is happening, because we're all afraid of the Patriots. That's why we won't do that, because we know 9 out of 10 times when they make a move, it tends to somehow work out in their favor, even if it doesn't look that way on the surface. And so that's what we all live in fear of, and that's what Jason brought up. And as someone who was burned by the Tuck rule, I know Jason carries a special place in his heart for this team. But he's right. Like, this is a bad football team in ways that we all could have seen and predicted this year based on what they lost. It's too much for anyone to overcome. So I don't think there's any harm in calling it out, but when you start to look at the things that went into it. And Bill Barnwell, our great ESPN writer in the Bill Barnwell Show, wherever you get your podcast, did a great breakdown of all of these parts of it. And one that he mentioned was the draft. And when Bill Belichick has the resume potentially questioned, he also responds like this when asked about, you know, his resume and what he's built over the last two decades here.
I know how much you put into the draft, and I know how much every team puts into the draft. And I guess there's a disconnect between whether it's injuries, development, competition. So not asking a question on it and continuing to write or spitball about it doesn't do us any good if we don't ask the guy who is in charge of it.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I'd say the most important thing to me is winning games. And I'm not going to apologize for our record over the last 20 years. I mean, I've seen a lot worse. So ultimately, we try to put the best team on the field that we can to be competitive. And I don't really see that changing. So whoever those players are or aren't, that's the responsibility I feel to the team, is the competition plays itself out and the better players play, whoever they are.
It is incredible to think about, Janae, that is as close as we're going to get to Bill Belichick truly being triggered and defensive in this situation, right? Because it sounds like, again, a coach just pointing out the obvious. Like any other time, if the Patriots were in a different situation, we would probably all be like, oh, what a flex, Bill Belichick letting everybody know about his record over the last 20 years. But we know that's not the Patriots this year. Like, they don't get to do that. And I think some people are in a weird way excited by that.
Yeah, I agree, because it's funny, because when you have people with that type of temperament, first of all, they're going to wait a second, and then they're going to read you very calmly. Those are the ones, like, I worry about when I'm talking to them. But how much do you think that this is, I think we both seen so many different aspects of sports in which drafting is not easy. And for a franchise that has an organization that has really done that extremely well, and their best case is one of those miracle cases in Tom Brady, do we think that we're overinflating their ability realistically? I mean, we've seen it done on a high level consistently, but like everyone's running and saying N'Keal Harry and Sony Michel and all those type of things. Most people don't get drafts all the way right. And this is a team that has done that consistently. And I feel like sometimes that doesn't get acknowledged either.
Yeah, today I think they're getting crushed by the weight of their own standard, and they've been destroying other teams with this for years. We compare everyone's success to what the Patriots have been able to achieve, and it's unfair. It's been unfair to those other teams because two decades of dominance like this isn't something normal, and the Patriots are now finding that out themselves as they are crushed under the own massive weight of their accomplishments, and Bills in particular. Here, tune into a football doubleheader this Sunday as the Packers host the Jags, followed by the 49ers at Saints. Pregame begins at noon Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. We'll find out and talk to our next guest and see if he believes Bill Belichick sounds as triggered as everyone wants him to in this spot. We will do all of that after this word from AT&T.
Now, there are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to love AT&T 5G. You see, I have AT&T 5G, and their service is powering my connection to do this show right now. Yes, it is in my crib, in my house. For example, maybe you're a professional race car driver. Or a cheetah, my favorite animal. Cheetah girls, cheetah sisters, sorry. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Maybe you're a bodyguard. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's secure. Or maybe you're a librarian and haven't missed a day of work in 28 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G like me in my crib. It's fast, secure, and reliable. And now nationwide. AT&T 5G. It's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, it's about to get, crispy, crunchy, crinkly? It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell and Penzoil Performance Lines. Now, you know, here's the news of the day that we're dealing with, especially affecting this weekend. COVID is really just making college football this weekend really depressing in some ways. I think you said it was up to 14 postponements or cancellations this weekend. And I think a lot of other sports, a lot of different leagues are taking note. The NBA is taking note. And in about 10 minutes, we will check in with one of our NBA insiders who was plugged in on the Warriors plan to have fans. And I think it was up to like 50% capacity. I'll double check that. Fans this season, that will take a huge plan and a huge investment. But first, I want to stay in football land because we have to head back to the Shell Penzoil Performance Line to hang with our big bro, Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the co-hosts of NFL Live. He's of the Cowboys, Ravens, tenure back on his Wikipedia out of LSU. Spears, before I get to like the NFL conversation, we've been having this debate on the show, and I don't know how I'm friends with Junior after this. He says that what is it, curly fries are the best fries. I said I like my fries not too skinny, not too big, so like in between, like slim thick, sort of like a wedge, like smaller than a wedge, but something, you know, crispy too. What are the best types of fries?
Today, I think we're going to drop down a level. It is curly fries.
My guy.
Oh, my God. I did not know you didn't like curly fries tonight. But listen, there's a difference, though, okay? There's a difference in curly fries. They have to be crispy. They cannot get soggy, or they're the worst fries. And then, like, you know, I'm from Louisiana, y'all, so our fries are a bit different when it comes to seasoning. We have what you call Cajun curly fries, which are my favorite fries. Now, I get it. Like, a good fry is good. A Kringle cut or otter is good. I don't disagree. But, man, them curly fries hit different when they ripe.
Marcus Spears here with us, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, you probably will never talk to me again. I like my fries a little soggy, like not too, like, yeah, I'm weird.
Oh,
like
my
that.
God. What? Marcus, I'm sorry. Like, you, Marcus, you don't deserve this right now, what she's doing to you in this. Soggy. Ugh.
I'm so sorry, but like, I'll get back on point and hopefully I'll redeem myself, because you said you like yours with like Cajun seasoning. Oh, gosh, I knew it. Oh, what?
Help her out, man.
Quick question. All right. Okay. Now, here's what I think. I could be absolutely wrong, and I know you on that West Coast. I get it. Could it be that In-N-Out fries are a little soggy? And
they
you
are.
Eat them a lot?
They are. That could be it. Honestly, it might be just me being out here.
I don't like fries that's not crispy.
No,
and
you're right.
I think In-N-Out has a good burger. I'm not going to go all crazy about it like people do. It's a good burger. But their fries lack. I'm sorry.
You're right. I agree. I have been far away from the dirty South. You know, I'm from Houston, Texas. I've been too far away from the dirty South. But you mentioned that Cajun seasoning, and I want to switch over to football, because one of the most seasoned coaches, Bill Belichick, kind of got a little cranky a little bit, but in a polite way. By, you know, he's facing a lot of criticisms now. His team is 3-5 in the AFC East, where they normally dominate. You heard the sound of him in the press conference sort of bringing up, like, well, 20 years I've been doing this thing, and we have a pretty good record there. Is this as defensive as we're going to see Bill Belichick get?
Probably so. You know, it just speaks to the human energy, right? Like, we thought Bill would be obviously immune to feeling that way because he's had such a tremendous amount of success. And now the whole question about Brady and could he do it without him, all of that stuff still matters, because we got to always remember that we're dealing with highly competitive individuals, right? We're dealing with guys that their whole careers have been based on winning and winning at the highest level. So the fact that his team is struggling like they are, and obviously he's the head coach, but he also, you know, kind of, it's just one of those, it's a weird situation for Bill to be in, y'all. We have never had this conversation about football this time of the year without the Patriots being as like central to the conversation about Super Bowls and playoff runs and winning their division. So I will say he is tested, because this is unfamiliar territory that he's in. And I don't know how long, was the last 12, 13 years maybe. So it is a touchy situation for him. It is testy. It is the conversation about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, who was more responsible. It's all of that stuff. And Brady ain't doing all that great either, but Bill Belichick is still where he's been so successful, and I'm sure the noise is starting to kind of impact him a little bit, to be honest with you.
ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agumake. And Marcus, looking in the NFL, we talk all the time about these divisional rivalries with you because it's such a unique thing. And we get a good one this weekend. The Bengals are at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And while most people look at this and see the Steelers as obviously superior here, I'm curious. You look at Joe Burrow, product of LSU, just like you, going up in his first matchup against the Steelers defense. What are you expecting out of him against one of the best defensive groups in the NFL?
Out of, say that again, MG, you cut out for a second on me.
My fault, Marcus. I was asking your LSU brethren in Joe Burrow right now, getting his first crack at the Pittsburgh Steelers in that defense this weekend. We've seen great things out of him so far, but what are you expecting from him going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL this weekend?
Oh, yeah, man. It's huge, right? Like, you think about Joe Burrow, and you think about the success that he's had, and one thing that stood out to me talking about him today is that he has not been really good with pressure. It's one of those situations where he's had so much success as a rookie, and I'm guilty of it because we become conscious of all of the success, right? Like when we see him doing phenomenal things. So this test for him is about, you know, where he is when it comes to people being in his face. And we, you know, everybody has talked about how bad Cincinnati offensive line has been, and I've bought it about how they need to protect him, how Cincinnati's front office and organization needs to make sure that that's top priority, all of those things. But it also is something to be said for them being able to get wins, being able to be competitive. So we've been focused on his success. Now he gets a real, raw, authentic challenge from a front seven who I think is as good as anybody in the league when it comes to getting after the quarterback. We're going to see what Joe Burrow is. We're going to see how he handles maybe some bad things happening early and being able to bounce back. I think I have a good idea about how he's going to respond like he always has. He's been in tough situations already this year and have thrived through them and had success and actually have had the Bengals in positions to win some of those games. I expect that, but we all know that this is a different beast. And I can't wait to see him play because – I want the whole idea of Joe Burrow being what Cincinnati needs to be relevant, be division leaders and try to win their division and get the Super Bowls and actually go to the playoffs and win some games because I think people forget Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton did it. But we'll continue to find out what we think we know about Joe Burrow, but this is his big litmus test, and it's a few of them this weekend.
Yep.
that's really going to tell a lot about these young quarterbacks.
No question, Marcus. Excited to watch all of them take that next step, hopefully on this big stage. We appreciate the time and insight, as always.
Thanks,
brother.
Marcus.
We'll talk to you soon.
Sorry, friend.
As always, family, Shanae, get off them soggy fries, please. Get some crispy in your life.
We're going to try and help Janae out. Our ESPN NFL analyst and fry expert Marcus Spears joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. We'll see if an expert in a different sport can give us an answer to that same question and try and help us make sense of a plan starting to be put in place out on the West Coast for this upcoming NBA season. That's next. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
I am so, so excited because we get to talk to my Stanford girl right here, Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunmakay and Mike Golick Jr. here. Now, we just had Marcus Spears on, ESPN NFL analyst, to break down the big stories in the NFL and the big games as well. Joe Burrow taking on the Steelers and Bill Belichick on the defense with his team. You know, we're going to take those subjects to the end zone, friend zone in a little bit. But I want to switch gears back to the NBA because this week we've had some news, whether it's free agency news or potential trade news. But we also had news as outlined by our own ESPN NBA insider, Ramona Shelburne, in her story where she shared that the Warriors have presented an ambitious plan to reopen Chase Center in San Francisco at 50% capacity for this upcoming season, which is coming soon, December 22nd. And the owner, Joe Laca, believes that this can be a model for all sports franchises and entertainment venues to safely bring back fans. And this model includes spending upward of $30 million to test every fan. And so now I'm really thrilled and excited to welcome my girl, Mama Momo, Ramona Shelburne, with us here on Janae Angola Jr. on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to chat with us. And first, Ramona, I haven't seen you in forever, and it's sad because we're like, we should be neighbors in LA. First of all, how are you doing? And secondly, how did the Warriors get to this point?
Well, you know, I'm doing good. I'm just, you know, Friday afternoon, I got a bunch of radio hits to do today, and then after I've been working all week, and I'm sort of looking forward to, like, you know, wind down time, right?
Yes.
tonight. It actually feels like a Friday, so I'm good. This is how the Warriors get to this point. They weren't in the playoffs, and they had nothing to do, right, except try to work on getting fans back for next year. Because if you remember correctly, the Warriors spent, I'm going to blank on the exact number, I think it's $2 billion, maybe $4 billion, right? I love when people who don't have billions are the ones who can't remember if it's $2 or $4 billion, right? But they spent billions of their own money to build Chase Center, and it is the biggest profit center in the NBA, okay? It prints money. It is. They already were, you know, the highest grossing team in the league for the last 5-6 years because they had a great team and because they had high ticket prices, and Bay Area fans with all that Silicon Valley money are able to spend that. They already were that at Oracle Arena. They were going to be just like an ATM at Chase Center with the suites that they could sell. They get it approved opening night. The team sucks. Everybody is hurt. The season's not going well at all. They end up with the worst record in the league. And then, oh, by the way, they lose the last 17 games of the year. Lakeham told me he estimated that cost them $50 million just in their own gate and also local TV revenue from the games they didn't get to play. And he has a background in epidemiology. He, you know, in addition to being a Stanford guy, Joe Lakeham is, he has a master's of public health from UCLA with a specialty in epidemiology. So you could not have found a person with a better expertise with just academically and in the business world. Joe Lake built his fortune by building out biotech medical companies. He has built 70 companies, okay? That's how he got the money to buy the Warriors. So this is literally his background. He knows everyone in this field. And 12 hours a day, he's been working on this since March, okay? My favorite part of the story, Chinay, is it's called Operation Dub Nation. like that's a real thing. Like, hey, are you part of Operation Dub Nation? Every Monday at 9 a.m., they would have this task force meeting. And, you know, Joe's like a mad scientist, but every Monday at 9 a.m., you know, the rest of the Warriors who were staffers who've been working on this would have a call or a Zoom and get into it. And it's like, this has been their passion project. It's as much for them about survival. I mean, I don't think they're going out of business, but if Joe told me that if they don't have fans this year, he says that costs them $400 million in revenue. So whatever it costs to test all these people, to do the state-of-the-art air filtration system, to wear masks, to do it at 50%, he said that's $30 million. That's totally worth it for them.
Talking to Ramona Shelburne with us here, our ESPN senior writer on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Ramona, to that end, it sounds like the perfect storm. You've got a guy with this background, a ton of money, and the means to do so with all this time. How feasible is this for anyone else to attempt in the NBA?
I mean, I don't think anybody has the same incentive that the Warriors do, because nobody makes as much money at the gate as they do. Like, if you're the Lakers and you have that giant local TV contract with Spectrum, you don't need to do that. You don't need to spend money. I mean, yes, it hurts not to have fans at Staples Center. The NBA is projecting that not having fans this year will cost them 40% of their revenues, and that basically works out to about $4 billion. Chinay, you know this. In the WNBA, that's not just out of owners' pockets. Mm-hmm. That comes out of players' pockets, too, because everything's split 50-50, okay? But until the league wants to take this on, okay, because these tests are not cheap. The ones that the Warriors are proposing to use, and this is the game changer here, okay? This is a new technology. It's only come around this summer is when it started to be approved. They're called rapid PCR tests, okay? The PCR test is the gold standard. That is, it's a 99% accuracy. It picks up the virus in people who aren't even infectious yet, usually don't become infectious to day three or day four, but it can pick it up as early as day three, sometimes even day two. And they are rapid, meaning you get the results in 15 minutes. Now, previously, rapid tests have been what are called antigen tests. Those tests miss 30 to 50% of the people who are infectious. So this is why this is such a game changer. But these tests, they cost about $150 each.
Wow. Ramona, it's going to be fascinating to try and watch everyone make this work with the prices associated with that. We're running out of time here, unfortunately, but we appreciate all the info, and we will talk to you very soon. The great Ramona Shelburne on with us here. Coming up next, though, it's End Zone Friend Zone in the NFL next on Shanae and Golic Jr.